in Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived." In other words, don't come under a delusion or be led astray or get off track. God is not mocked. In other words, you know, when you look up that word mocked, it actually talks about you don't thumb your nose up at, you know, you don't thumb up your nose up to God. He is not mocked and or ridiculed or made fun of or laughed at. People do that, but he is not. Amen? And then it goes on to say, whatever a man or whatever a person sows, whatever a person plants, you know, we don't use the word sow too much here nowadays, so it's like it's referring to planting a seed. Whatever a person sows, whatever a person plants, that, and all of a sudden, when that passage was read this morning during intercession, that word, that, whatever a person sows, that, in other words, whatever comes out of the mouth, that. And I thought, oh my Lord goodness, there's a lot of that's that I would not like to come to pass, amen? How about you? There are things that come out of our mouth, the heart of belief, that we don't want to come to pass. Because what is it, you know, when it's referring here to sowing, it's not referring to physical seed going into the ground, it's referring to words coming out of our mouth, which proceed out of our heart, as in, if you remember the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower went to sow the seed, and it said, and the seed is the word of God. At times, I don't believe that we're sowing the word of God. And that I got convicted of during intercessory prayer, that he will also reap. So in other words, what comes out of us, we are planting. We are planting for a crop. You're planting for a crop. And so you have to ask yourself, do you want that crop to come to pass? That crop, those things coming out, do you want that to come to pass? Because then it goes on here to say, for he who sows or he who plants words according to the flesh, carnality, that is that which is not of God, will of the flesh or that carnality reap, bring in the harvest of what? Corruption, that which is contrary to God. But he who sows or plants to or by the Spirit, capital S, by the Holy Spirit, will of the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, more and more of God's life is going to become manifest, manifest, manifest. Amen? Let us not grow weary. I think that's where the wrong sowing comes from. When a person gets weary, and I remember just this morning in intercession, when that word that came to me and the word frustration came, and I got frustrated. I mean, there was something I was doing this past week, and I just got totally frustrated with it, and to where I was making a lot of mistakes, and I just stopped, said, Christine, I think it was Friday, wasn't it, honey, Friday? I said, honey, we need to pray. I'm just totally frustrated. We're going to give this frustration to the Lord because I don't want that to come out of my mouth, this frustration. And once it was committed to the Lord, there was a sowing of life. The Spirit of God showed me exactly what needed to be done. It got done the way that he wanted to get done. But the question is, when we find ourselves in a place of being wore down, being bombarded, being hit unexpectedly, and we get weary, what's that in your life today? What is that which is proceeding out of your mouth? Because the Word of God talks about it in Matthew 13 and in Matthew 15. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's usually during the time of being wore out, tired, frustrated, frazzled, a hard week, facing a difficult time, that. In other words, God wants to get us in tune to that which is coming out of us during that time. And he goes on here to say, we'll reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary. Don't become wearied while doing good. For in due season, if you're planting according to the Holy Spirit, believing God, we've been looking at this subject, fighting the good fight of faith. We've looked at the word fight. We've started with the word, that next part of it, the good fight of faith. And at times when we're in a battle, spiritual warfare, as you know, we don't battle with flesh and blood, but we're in that battle, we're in that warfare, and that sometimes we let the guard down, don't we? Sometimes we get a little frustrated. This is too much. I can't do this. I tell you, when my strength comes to an end, God's strength begins. Amen? I mean, didn't the Apostle Paul say, you know, there was this buffeting spirit that was assigned to him, and he went before the Lord three times, about to be set free from it, and what was Jesus' response? My grace is sufficient for you. My ability, everything that I have done and secured on your behalf without any effort of yourself, my grace, my favor, my promises, everything that I am is enough. In other words, you've been equipped, Paul. You've been equipped, even in the time of our greatest need. And then he went on to say, I learned to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I learned to glory from the place of weakness, while in weakness, while coming to an end to myself, while becoming totally frustrated. I don't know what to do next. From that place, Paul said, oh my goodness, it's time for me to glory. It's time for me to look to God. It's time for me to give thanks that the power or the ability of Christ may rest upon me now. I've come to my own end of my own resources. I just can't do this. Guess what? The resources of God begin to kick in. Amen? And so there's something that he's wanting to show us. There's something he's wanting to teach us in looking at this subject, this good fight of faith. And when the Lord convicted my heart during intercession of that frustration, which I did repent of and had prayer for, but it was like the first thing that came out. I was like, remember this past week? And I said, oh yeah. And remember what you did? Oh yeah, I went to Christina and we had prayer. And remember what happened afterwards? Yeah, everything turned around. You see, God wants to catch us in these moments. He wants to bring his goodness in, okay? Instead of let the manifest the frustration or whatever it may be manifest. And have you felt frustrated this past week? Okay? And have you felt like it's a little bit too much? And so the question is, what have we done? What have you done? And you have to realize that coming here is a safe place. This is a safe place. This is a place where you can grow in your faith. This is a place where you can get challenged in your faith. This is a place where you can actually be rebuked by the Word of God and then get free. You know, and get liberated. It's a place where you can be free to get free. Amen? And we have to realize that at times, and sometimes we've got to get rid of our sanctimoniousness. And just like, you know what, I need ministry, I need prayer. Or right there where you're sitting, if the Lord were... I've had people come up to me and says, you know, when I was just sitting hearing the Word recently, Jesus set me free. I was like, man, you need to shout about it. You need to let somebody know about it. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. That's just great when that takes place in a person's heart, in a person's life. So that you can fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And he wants us to be able to do this. Amen? He wants you to be able to do this. First, let me just go now to... Let me just read the verse again. 1 Timothy. Ooh, wait a second. We are living in frustrating times, aren't we? It seems like this world is frustrated and confused. And God is still wanting the standard of truth to be lifted up from your life. In the world of confusion, in the world of mixture, in the world of compromise, in the world where they're trying to kick God out, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They can try. It still all belongs to him. So let them try away. But we, as believers in Jesus, have to make sure that we don't go in that direction. It's very easy when pressure comes upon you, instead of opposing it, to go with it. Don't want to rock the boat, baby, right? Well, I tell you, rock away. Hallelujah. Jump away. I like that picture of all these fish going in one direction downstream. And if you look at all these fish, there's only, if you look real close, you see one fish in the middle that's the opposite going upstream, going counter current, you know? And we have to realize, with God's help, we can go as far as we need to go. Amen? Let me read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This was a verse that came to me during worship and praise, and you might think, that's kind of strange. No, it's good. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And I really believe that there's a time of preparation that's taking place. Most of us know, when we read the book of Revelation, we know the wrath of God's going to be poured out on this planet, don't we? And we know that things that have to take place on this planet also before the church is caught up to be with Jesus. Amen? But it says that perilous times are going to come. It says, for people will be lovers of themselves, extremely selfish, lovers of money, Boasters, proud, blasphemers. I tell you what, there seems to be more mocking of God now than ever before. There was this one website I went to. I'm not even going to say it because some of you go to it. But it's just a website of just blaspheming God. And the challenge is, what they put on this website, if God is who he says he is, look at all the stuff that tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people have already said now. They just get on there and just make all these mockery comments against God, and they record it. They have it recorded, like, oh, if he's so great, why doesn't he do something to us? Right? Wow. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. I have written underneath there, unthankful because they just expect it. How many of us sometimes get like that? Unholy, unloving. Don't we have to guard our hearts to make sure they keep sensitive, to keep pure before the Lord? Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I just go to that last part there. Lord God, I just thank you that I'm a lover of you and I continue to grow in that. I am just throwing myself just completely on you, Lord. But this other part here where I believe it's speaking to the church, because we know the world can't be godly, having a form of godliness but denying its power. How many go through the motions? How many times have I in my past gone through the motions? How many times, maybe in your spiritual walk, where you've gone through the motions, where we have a perception of godliness, a perception of everything going right, a perception of it's all okay between you and the Lord, and we put out that perception, and we really know that, hey, I need prayer, I need ministry. There's something isn't right here. There's something of the Holy Spirit's ability. It's not working within my life, and I don't want to go through this motion anymore. And we all need to just get real and to realize that if we find ourselves in that place, not to stay there, but to realize, Lord, I just don't want to go through the motions, Lord God. I just want to give myself wholly and completely over to you. Amen? Having a form of godliness but denying its power, it says, and from such people turn away. For this is the sort of those who crept in to household, made captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, and led away with various lusts. I have one translation that I looked up concerning these things that get in and creep into households, sneak in, stealthily come into people's homes and people's lives. And when you look up this make captives of gullible women, it talks about those who are silly or foolish. Silly or foolish. In other words, something can be said to them, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but remember the foolish virgins? You see, they had oil, but the oil ran out. But, and it takes it back to Matthew chapter 7 about the wise and foolish person. The wise person takes heed to the word of God and changes with it. Their life lines up to it. The foolish one hears the word of God and has a mental assent to it, but never changes. And so something comes in, yeah, but. And they get together as to why they're yeah, buts. And all of a sudden they find themselves going off, getting off track. So it could be men or women here. Could be men or women here. The analogy here is, it takes it all the way back to the garden, what happened with Eve when the serpent came in. It takes it back to words spoken and being swayed by those words and the so-called validity of those words. It looks like it's right, but there's something mixed in with it that gets them away from the practical use and application, life-changing transformation of the word, to them just going through a ritual or an excuse. And then what does it go on here to say? It says, always learning. See, that's the thing that you should always, you have to be careful of. Nothing wrong with learning, but what's the learning getting you? What's it doing within you? What's the transformation? Do you see change? Do you see growth? Do you see where you were here and now you're here? Because it says here, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And remember that word truth. One of the definitions of that word truth is reality. In other words, the knowledge of it becoming real to you, a part of you, you becoming what that word says, you being a living example of that truth. How many of us over the years have experienced, I've experienced this, having the truth, or no, I should say having the Word of God, but it not changing or transforming me. In other words, being a really good Pharisee with it. I mean, there were times in my life where I could really give, you know, if you were wrong, like, you know, the Word of God says. Sometimes we need something like that. But it was just like me just wanting to hammer off a truth to a person, and it didn't bring change in him. It actually brought destruction in him. But when that word of truth, when you've learned it and it has come into your life, it changes and transforms you. And then when the ministry comes, it comes off as Jesus himself would do it. As it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is our head, even Christ. So we're growing up in him and becoming more and more like Jesus, or delivering and speaking it the way that Jesus would have spoken it. And at times when we do speak in love, it can be very forceful. How many of you know that speaking in love can be very forceful? I don't get it all. Everybody here is not always agreeing. Let's put it this way. You got a loved one going, you know, you got a small child that's playing near the curb and a car's coming and they're walking in the street. Love's going to use a very loud voice. It's going to come out very loudly to get that child's attention to get out of the street. Amen? Hello? Is that not love? Oh, I don't want to offend their psyche. The car's coming. Oh, Jimmy, get out of the street, please. Oof. Hey, true? So love at times does have a very strong, powerful voice to get the attention of the one it needs to be gotten. Hallelujah. So, you know, looking at this good fight of faith and seeing like what's happening here. And what it says that these are the condition of the last days. And that little list I just read through, don't you see that that's today? And it's globally, it's getting more and more like this all the time. And so, you know, I started going back in and looking in the book of Revelation real quickly and looking at the last day saints. It's so neat that we're able to go in the book of Revelation and see these saints that are going to become believers in Jesus during this time of tribulation and how they lived during that time. I said, well, you know what? If we can just get some things from how they lived and bring it into our life today, then we will be prepared for whatever the future holds for any of us. Amen? We may not all have all our ducks in order concerning the coming of Jesus or the rapture of the church, but guess what? I want to be ready whenever that is. I want to be ready. I want to make sure we're not lulled to sleep thinking we're not going to face anything. We're going to be out of here by then. There's a complacency that sometimes comes with that. But if we'll go and read, let's start with Revelation chapter 12, and I'll pick it up after the wrath of the devil. How many of you know that the devil has great wrath? And so some of these things in the book of Revelation is not the wrath of God, it's the wrath of the devil. Oh, well, that puts a different spin on certain things when you read here. It talks about, at the end of verse 12, it says, for the devil has come down to you having what? Great wrath. Because he knows what? His time's short. Oh, I just love that, don't you? Devil, your time's getting shorter and shorter all the time. Hallelujah. Now, verse 13, I'm just going to cover some things here real briefly. As I read, I'm just going to put in some definitions to these words here. Now, when the dragon, we know the dragon from verse 9 is the devil or the serpent. Now, when the dragon, or when the devil saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. And most translations and most Bible prophecy teachers talk about being faithful Israel or the Jewish people. So he persecuted, let's say faithful Israel, the Jewish people, who gave birth to the male child. Most people say the male child, when you go back up here to the first part of Romans chapter 12, that the male child is Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people are trying to get in there saying, talking about the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church this. What I'd like to point out here is verse 5, she, speaking of the woman, bore a male child who was to rule all nations. Who rules all nations? With a rod of iron, you can actually go to Revelation 19:15 and see that Jesus, when he comes back again, it says that he does rule with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to where? His throne. Where's Jesus seated right now? At the right hand of the Father. So let's just go ahead with this right here today, who gave birth to a male child, Jesus, who's the ruler of us all. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So this speaks about the protection of believing Israel during the time of the tribulation, about a 3.5 year period where she's protected. So the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. It's amazing when we read newspapers today, and if you were to take geographically the percentage that Israel takes up, the dirt that they take up on this planet, it says it's about a percent or less than a percent of dirt, of territory on this planet. And isn't it amazing how they command the attention of all nations? It's spiritual. I mean, they just command the attention of all nations in that area when they do something or when they don't do something. And anybody that sides with Israel, okay? But the earth, and it speaks here of the earth as people of the earth who have not received the mark of the beast. You know that there's going to be some people that's not going to receive the mark of the beast, right? And it talks about there's going to be people who will help the woman. Are there not people who, it's amazing that there were some of these countries, recently there was a vote in the United Nations, and it's amazing that some of these countries sided with Israel in this vote that came up and the others that didn't. And I looked at some of these nations that sided with Israel. You'd think they'd be just staunch enemies of Israel. And yet there's people in government places and countries that they don't agree with Israel, but they'll still side with Israel. And we have to realize that God's going to honor those kind of people. They're going to be natural people that will enter into the millennium, okay, that have not taken the mark of the beast, okay? But listen to this part down here. It says in the verse 17, let's just drop down to verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, believing Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Do we have any passage in the Word of God that refers to believers in Jesus Christ as offspring or as children of Abraham, offspring of the original? I'm going to read you a verse here in Galatians chapter 3. I think it's verse 29. And if you are Christ, do you belong to Jesus Christ here today? Look what it says in verse 29 here. Then you are Abraham's seed or offspring and heirs according to the promise. So let's see if this fits. Let's see if this offspring here is referring to believers in Jesus. Let's read the rest of the verse. To make war with the rest of her offspring, which, what do they do first? Keep the commandments of God. Oh, and look at this last part here. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see what that qualifies. This offspring here is the believers who come to faith during this time in the tribulation. Or we call them tribulation saints, or the saints that will be here on the earth that go through this tribulation. And it says they keep the commandments of God. You might say, Pastor, that's the law. We don't keep the commandments of God. Well, I beg to differ, and I'll tell you why. Does a believer in Jesus steal? Does a believer in Jesus commit adultery? No. Does a believer in Jesus make idols and worship idols other than God? Does a believer in Jesus, are they supposed to be covetous? No. So you might say, well, you're talking about some of these Ten Commandments. I said, yes, I am. What's the difference BC, before we came to know Jesus Christ, and after we came to know Jesus Christ? Our heart's been changed. I become born of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that my life begins to fulfill what it says in Matthew 20, is it 22 or 23, when Jesus was asked about what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22. Then one who was a lawyer asked him a question, verse 35, Matthew 22. Teacher, What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. Where's the first place? The heart. When we get born again, what's the first part of us that changed? Do we not get a heart transplant? Do we not become new creations in Christ Jesus? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, wait a second. All your soul and mind. That talks about the renewing of our mind. It talks about all that is within us that is not in agreement with God gets changed and transformed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. How many of you know after you get saved, you need to hear the Word of God? You need to be discipled in the Word of God. You need to come and hear the Word of God because there's stuff between your ears and in your thinking, your mind, and your feelings that need to be renewed, transformed. And when does that stop? When you leave this body. That's when it stops. Because we always have an influence of the world upon us. You have the influence of the world, your flesh, the devil, your old unrenewed areas that try to surface at times and play things back in your thinking that you've been delivered of. I thought I was delivered of that. Some song, you're walking through the mall or you're going somewhere or you're flipping through the radio stations and it starts playing an old song. And then all of a sudden, take me back. All of a sudden, it takes you back. You gotta shut that thing off before it takes you back too far. I remember when. No, I don't want to remember when. Amen? But if you go back and remember when and start entertaining that and start giving place to that, then your mind starts getting renewed in the wrong way to what it doesn't need to be renewed to. Because you once again, you're reinforcing it. You're building it up. You're planting it back in. You know what? I'm sure all of us have dug out enough junk within our life. We don't need to be planning anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. It talks about that old man has been crucified in Christ, dead and buried. Why do we want to pick up that old man, that old nasty, unrenewed thing? You know what the mind has the ability to do? The mind has the ability to go back to a time in your life that was absolutely horrific, if you really think about it, and just think about the good things during that time. It's almost like a person who is divorced with her husband, and after a period of time, she started thinking, oh, what a great marriage it was. Oh, he was such a nice guy when he did this, this, and this, and comes in contact with that person again, and he hasn't made any changes. You know, I remember when we did this, I remember when you did that, and when you took me here, we had such a wonderful time. She doesn't remember any of the abuse. For some reason, that just kind of slips her mind, and she just kind of says, yeah, come on, let's get back together. And it all starts in again. The person isn't changed. But we have the uncanny ability to just remember some of the fun stuff, some of the flesh stuff that wasn't bad. And we entertain that. Be careful. Be careful what you entertain. Let the Holy Spirit bring in the full truth of it. Well, yeah, I used to drink some. No, I didn't drink some. I drank a lot. You know, I really did have some fun times when I was drinking. I can remember all the fun times. But am I remembering the times I gave my offering to the porcelain god? Yeah. We don't like to remember those times, do we? Man, I gave a lot of offerings there. Hallelujah. That I'm delivered. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. But it looks here, it's love. It's all about loving the Lord your God. Now, it says that when you do this, you're going to think differently about yourself. It goes on here and says, this is the first and great command, and the second one is like unto it. You shall what? Love your enemies as you love yourself. There's a lot of people that have problems viewing themselves. You have problems how you perceive yourself. You have a problem how you view yourself. That there's still a bunch of garbage within your life that you tend to go back to, or some labels that people placed on you that you still wear. You know, all you have, you know, something comes out of the mouth, and I know what label they're wearing. And it comes out. It says, when you start loving God with everything that you have within you, you're going to start viewing yourself as God sees you and as God loves you. You're going to realize you're loved of God, you're accepted of God, you're welcomed by God. And you're going to start viewing yourself differently from what God says instead of what others have said or what the lies you've even told yourself. It says you shall love others with the same love as you yourself have been loved by God. Love others with the same love that you yourself have been loved by God. That's what it's referring to as you loving yourself. You're acknowledging the great love that Father God has for you. He's always wanted a family. That's what it was about in the very beginning. It was family. You're part of the family of God. You are His beloved son and daughter. Are you able to say, I'm a beloved son of God, or I'm a beloved daughter of God? Can you say it and mean it? Or, you know, just, well, I hope so. If anybody here just had the thought right now, well, I hope so, then God wants to bring that revelation to you. He wants to bring that revelation to you as a child of God. You're loved with the identical love that the Father has for Jesus. And that's huge. That is big. Now, let's fast forward to the Apostle Paul and see what he has to say concerning who keep the commandments and faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. What Paul has to say about what do we owe each other? What do you owe me and what do I owe you? Very good. Verse 8. Owe no person anything except to love one another. For he who loves, or he who is able to demonstrate the God kind of love to another, has fulfilled the law. You see what fulfills the law? The Word of God tells me, that's why it's so imperative. It's so imperative that when a person gets saved and comes to know Jesus Christ, that they also experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it talks about how love does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Because it talks about how the love of God was shed abroad or spread through our entire being when you receive the Holy Spirit. People need a baptism of love, in God's love. I tell you, love will change you. Christine gave a testimony last week about the bitterness that she had, and that's why she has become known as the Love Lady. The love of God completely changed her and transformed her life. Bitterness went out, the love of God went in, changed person. Amen? So if there's areas of bitterness, any of you feel resentful about a person, you're still carrying that resentment, God wants to take that resentment out and put His love in. You know that? He wants to do that. But if you'll just come to a place by faith, whoever this may be for today, come to that place by faith right now. I don't know how to do that. Faith is just acknowledging that it's there. Acknowledge that it's there, and God doesn't want it there. Take that resentment, take that bitterness, take that hurt right now. You know what took place, Lord God. I don't want to hold this anymore. I don't want to keep this. This is not my identity. This is not who I am. You want me to be able to take this and say, I release this, forgive, release to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, what He has done. And by faith, Jesus, You took this, what I have faced, what has happened to me, what I did to somebody else. Lord God, I release this to You. It's by faith. And then I accept Your love in that place. I accept Your love in that place. You may say, well, Pastor, I'll go ahead and do that, but I don't feel any different. You just keep reminding yourself the time that you did it and just keep expecting and knowing the love of God has taken place. Well, it's just too easy. It's a whole lot harder than you think. Because at times the mind tries to bring it up. Oh, you just said words. They don't really mean anything. If my mind tells me I've just said words, I know I've done some business with God. Do you know that? I've known I've done some business with God. And I was like, oh, thank You for telling me that. I know that it was said in faith, believing. Now look what it says here. It says love has what? Fulfilled the law. So when God's love is within you, or as it says in Galatians chapter 6, the very last part of it, He says circumcision doesn't mean anything and uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. He says, but what is it that avails? A new creation. He said, that's what works, is the new creation. You becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says, for the commandments, and He's going to go through and enumerate some of the Ten Commandments here. Look at that. Paul is talking Ten Commandments in the New Testament. The apostle of grace and truth. is bringing in the commandments now. Wow, you mean to tell me that can work in our life? Let's see how he says it, though. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, not be a liar, you shall not covet, desiring what you shouldn't be desiring. It's talking here about extreme selfishness. And if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Verse 10 tells us why. When God's love is within us, love does no harm. Love does no ill. Love does not bring any trouble or injury or harm toward anyone else. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So when God's love is within you, you find out that by nature, by you becoming a new creation, you automatically do those things contained therein. Nobody has to tell me, don't do this or don't do that. I know. I know. And God's love, if that mind tends to go off in that direction, no, that's not who you are. Oh, thank you, Father, for revealing that to me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You still have to renew this, but you have to let the Holy Spirit acknowledge who you are, and that is not who you are. You know, the previous thing of wanting to commit something, wanting to be selfish, wanting to break something that is not of God, all you need is to pay attention to the Holy Spirit within. And if you'll be sensitive to his still small voice, he will quicken you immediately. And so let me say this is with as much care as I can. The Holy Spirit is always faithful. The conviction comes. The prompting comes very quickly. We are the ones that have to respond to the prompting. And if we don't, it will leave just as fast as it came. In other words, the prompting will stop. And he will let us, the Lord will let us do what we choose to do at that moment. But thank God we can repent of it, though. Amen? Thank God we can get it right. Amen? Okay. So we see here on this good fight of faith how it's necessary. We started over here at Romans, Revelation chapter 12, who keep the commandments of God. Well, those who keep the commandments of God are new creations in Christ Jesus. And if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, then you're going to want the fullness of the Holy Spirit within your life. And when you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit within your life, the love of God has been spread throughout our entire being. And it's because we are new creations of God and God's love has been spread throughout our entire life, we're able to automatically do those things contained therein. So we are a people who keep the law because we have the nature of God. You have the nature of God. I don't sit around and walk with the Ten Commandments. You know, what do they call that thing that some of the Jewish people wear? Phylactery. Keep the word. They keep the word before them. Because it's on their forehead, it's before them. It's in their mind. Man, I've been made after the God kind now, after the Jesus kind. I'm a child of God by birth. And I find myself doing those things contained therein automatically. You're going to find yourself just obeying it. But what's the second part of that Revelation 12? Talks about faith. I put a note here, so I get to go right back to it. Who keep the commandments of God and have what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the next chapter we're going to go look at. The next two chapters we're going to look at where it talks about the faith. Have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Have the witness of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? The very last words that he spoke before he was ascended into heaven, and the disciples just kind of stood there and looked up in the heaven when he was caught up in the clouds. Anybody remember the final words of Jesus in the book of Acts? He speaks and he's gone. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, testimonies of me. Testimonies of me. Witnesses to me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Whoop! Then he's caught up. Who have the commandments of God, we by nature live a life that's pleasing to God. You should be able to say about your life, you should be able to say this, I live a life that's pleasing, that's agreeable, that's God-honoring. Can you say that today? I live a life that's pleasing, God-honoring, and agreeable with God. I have and I am the testimony. My life bears witness as a testimony of a living proof of Jesus Christ. And some may be thinking here, that's kind of great. That's kind of a powerful thing to say. No, that is what you do say, because that is who you are. Your life may not come up into full agreement 100% yet, but that is who you are. That is who you are. And because you're able to say that, you've heard me say this before, what you sow, I plant that. I've got areas to improve on. I'm not perfected in this, but that's who I am in Jesus Christ. And because I believe that, I live a self-fulfilling prophecy. My life goes to fulfill that belief. But if I just can't get this. Your life will begin to fulfill that prophecy. I can't get that. You won't get it then. Because you plant and you plant and you plant. You keep saying that, and it becomes a belief. It's a belief in that and an unbelief toward God. But it's a belief nonetheless. But it's just not toward God. And so when I find out a revelation, I can go to these saints that are going to be in this last days, and I can see what they go through and what they experience and the horrificness of what they're going to face. But there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a group of them. Because that word rest, the rest of her offspring, is the King James Version use the word remnant? Does it use the remnant of her offspring? Not everybody that says Jesus is going to go in, folks. How many people are sitting here in churches today all around the world that haven't even been born again? They don't even know Jesus, but yet they think that they're part of the family of God. There's always going to be fruit in the person's life. It may be a little bit of fruit at the beginning, but nonetheless fruit. You know, I've had some blossoms come into my life and those blossoms fell off, but bless God, there was a blossom there for a little while. I was like, Lord God, I don't want that thing to fall off anymore. I want that blossom to stay on there. And so the next time it comes around, the blossom lasts a little bit longer. You know, it starts. I got my jalapeno peppers growing right now, and the blossoms have all come out on the jalapeno bush. And I'm sitting there counting. Do. I was like, wow, looks like 30 jalapeno peppers are going to come out. But then apparently one of those don't get enough nutrients, one of those little branches, little strands, and that little thing there gets a little bit shriveled up, and that little, oh, you could have been part of my next hot sauce batch, or that which I'm going to give MC or Tiffany or Guy, because they like these things too. And I was like, oh, your potential has just been cut off. But look at all the rest of that plant right there. Hallelujah. That's growing. I can't get focused on, if I stay focused on what's fallen off that I'm not growing, and I've got to look at all the other things that are growing in my life and know the next go around, they're not going to fall off. In the name of Jesus. You're going to grow to fruition in the name of Jesus. Amen? But how many of us will just... I'm trying, Pastor. I'm trying, but it fell off. Get your eyes on what's falling off. Find out. Look at the plant. What's growing? Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah, we need sometimes some encouragement. Sometimes we need a swift kick in the... posterior. Okay, I understand that fell off. I understand that you failed. Why don't we just commit it to the Lord? Just commit it to the Lord and release it to Him. You release it to Him, it's gone out of your hands. It's gone. Because you've given it to Him for the next go-around. Oh, the next go-around. Yeah, it's going to go around. It's going to go around. It's going to go around and tell you what? Overcome. See, you might as well just get ready to overcome the first time. I don't like retaking things. How about you? Hallelujah. So, do we believe here that this group of people, the remnant, that, man, I want everybody part of the body of Christ. How about you? I just don't want to sit there and think that I'm part of the select group of the remnant. You know that? I'm a remnant believer. And I'm proud of it. We got to be careful. Because you know what? My heart desires for somebody who's not yet there to be there. I have a desire for everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ to be one with Jesus Christ. I have a desire for everyone who says they know Jesus and they keep tripping, they keep falling, and to help them get back up. I've got a desire that I want a person, I want you to be able to go as far as you can with Jesus Christ. I don't care if you pass me up, I'm going to get behind and push. You know, go, go, go. I mean, Barnabas was in ministry first, and if you'll take your time and read through the book of Acts, it was called Barnabas and Saul, then Barnabas and Paul. Then the switch comes, Paul and Barnabas. The switch comes, where Paul gets more of the recognition than the son of encouragement. But the son of encouragement was the first one to identify that he needed help in the work in Antioch, and he went and got Saul, or Paul, and brought him back because he was now needful. It was time for him to get involved. And Barnabas got behind and pushed. Go, Paul. You got a call. Go, Paul. Go, Paul. Go, Paul. So when it came the change of Paul being identified first, then Barnabas was okay with it. And we need to be okay with it also. If you find yourself discipling somebody or ministering to somebody, and they catch on and begin moving past you, don't look at them with envy. Get behind them and push. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to have some more pushers, good pushers in the body of Christ. Ooh, got to be careful what I'm saying here. Okay, Revelation 14. Revelation 14. The Antichrist has come to power. The people are taking the mark of the beast. They're taking some kind of allegiance. Some kind of, some mark in their body, in their hand, their forehead. It could be something they lift their hand up to, and with their mind, that they're giving their mind, their thoughts to it. They're lifting up their hand, giving allegiance to it. Something of an allegiance, of a mark, has come into people's lives where they can no longer be saved once they take it. They can't be saved. Those who take the mark, it talks about everlasting destruction. But not everybody's going to. Amen? Let me just pick it up here with a third angel, verse 9. Is that where I want to start? Yes. Revelation 14. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice. Loud voice! You're saying, I surrender my head for what you want. Now remember, it says we're to worship God. So we bow down and we acknowledge His authority. We acknowledge Jesus Christ is our head. We allow His thoughts to become our thoughts. His ways, our ways. We become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So this word worship here is also speaking the bowing of the knee and acknowledging of an authority. Acknowledging your ways, your ideas, your government, your religion is going to be mine. I offer you my head in return for yours. In the wrong way. In the wrong way. Okay? And it also means to lay down before and to actually give worship and honor and adoration to. So it says that they're going to do this. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hands, he himself will also drink. What do they get to drink of? The wrath of God. What does it go on and say about these people? Which is poured out. Poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And what does it say about these people? And he, the one who received the mark of the beast, shall be what? Tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and what? In the presence of the Lamb. Now we know that the lake of fire is eternal. And it goes on to say in verse 11 that the smoke of their torment ascends for how long? Forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and who receives the mark of allegiance of his name. Now, I have to say this because you've heard me say this and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you're going to face people in this day and age that believe that everybody's going to get saved. There's that false gospel, that false teaching going around that says eventually everybody's going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? What does this verse here say about their torment? Forever and ever. It doesn't say that there's an end to it. So just right here, those who take the mark of the beast, right there, that just throws out that teaching that has been infiltrating the body of Christ. Well, God loves everybody, and He's going to save everybody. He did through Jesus Christ, but it's up to the will of the person to bow their knee to Jesus. It's up to them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and say yes to Jesus Christ. Okay, it's up to them to do so. Amen? And that's where the responsibility comes upon us to make sure we're opening up our mouth when we need to open up our mouth and share that gospel. The word of we heard this morning. Frank, did you say Romans? Frank said Romans 10:17 in intercessory prayer. And the verse before Romans 10:17, the verses before that, how can they hear? Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to be a hearer of the word of God and a receiver of that word. Amen? But it says that they need to hear. And how can they hear without a preacher? In other words, how can they ever come to saving faith as we as believers don't open up our mouth when the opportunity presents itself? Amen? And so there is a responsibility that is laid upon each and every one of us. I believe Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity. Why? Why the necessity? How many people do you know that don't know Jesus? Necessity is laid upon me. But the key is, of all those people that don't know Jesus, is timing, the right timing of God. I call it the spiritual timing of God. And you look for those windows of opportunities. You look for those space of opportunities. As the Apostle Paul said, pray that a door for the utterance of the mystery of Christ may be opened unto me. Pray for that effectual door be opened unto me. He didn't stop there. He went on to say, and that I may speak as I ought to speak. Doors get open, and even the Apostle Paul faced it. Maybe he didn't speak as he ought to spoke all the time. And that's why he was asking the church, pray for an effective door for the mystery of the gospel of Christ to be opened, and also pray that I would take advantage of it when it's given to me. Well, if Paul asked for that about himself, we should be asking the same thing. Lord God, give us an effectual door for the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be put into people's hearts. And when the door is presented, that open my mouth and speak as I ought to speak. Amen? And not withhold, not to back down. We all wonder if they don't like it. Most of them won't like it at first. It's okay. They're not going, they're in darkness. And a lot of times when the light shines in, I mean, what you walk out of this building, let's say you're in a dark building, and you walk out right here in the courtyard here, and you look at the white wall, that the light shining on it, the sun shining on it, what do? It hurts. And the natural tendency is what? To turn away. And that's what happens to a person in darkness. One of the natural tendencies when the gospel is first delivered to someone is to turn away or to get the mouth where the light of truth is coming out stopped. So it's not shining on them anymore. So a lot of times there is going to be a retaliation or a negative result of you opening your mouth. Remember, it's not against you, it's against Jesus. And so use the opportunity. Well, what if I say it wrong? At least something about Jesus coming out of your mouth. He'll show you how to get better as you go along. Well, I don't know enough. I think in here we have more knowing than we realize. Amen? And sometimes we have too much knowing, which gets us into problems. We talk ourselves out of stuff. Amen? Now look at here. Okay, we're going to go back to verse 12 here, and it's going to identify them as saints. The same group of people that were spoken of in the last verse of Revelation chapter 12. Now look what it says here in 14 verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Do any of you here need some more consistency? At times, do you feel like this in your walk with God? Here is the patience of the saints, the consistency, the steadfastness. Talking about being even keeled, being the same all the time. Talks about having endurance. Talks about having patient continuance. It talks here about having the sustaining ability to keep going on, to persevere when everybody else is dropping off. Here is the patience or the consistency or the diligence of the saints. What does it say the very first thing? Those who what? Keep the commandments of God. Once again, we find ourselves living a life that's in agreement with God. We find ourselves keeping the teachings of Jesus Christ. We find ourselves listening to what Jesus said, what the Apostle Paul said, what Peter taught, what James taught, what Jude taught. We find ourselves finding out what the Word of God says, and we say, yes, Lord, yes. That we're just not hearers of the Word, as it says in James chapter 1, but we what? Find ourselves applying it, becoming what it says. Amen? Doers of the Word, carrying it out. I believe it's in James also. It says, faith without works is what? Dead. Just like the spirit is when it leaves the body. It's dead. Okay? When the spirit leaves the body, it's dead. And so James is correlating a dead corpse where the spirit has departed to a person who says faith and has no example of it. Or you could say it like this. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Now you might say, well, what's the corresponding action? It's whatever God's ministering to you. It said, Abel offered a good offering. So what was, you know, by faith, Abel, it says Abel offered. So what did he do? He gave by faith a right offering up to God. It said, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family. By faith, it says Abraham journeyed to a place that he did not even know where he's going. So Abraham moved, Noah built an ark, Abel offered. It's what God is speaking to you when you know it's a revelation of his word and the corresponding action that goes with it. Okay, I'll give you another example, one of my life verses. We love John 8:32, and you've heard me probably say this a million times, but I'll say it again. We love John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But that's a continuance of Jesus' words in verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word. See, the faith is this continuing in the word. You stay with it. You stay with it. You hear it. You read it. You ingest it. And it says, what? Continue, abide, dwell in it, stay with it. For how long? Until 32 happens. Until 32 happens. As you stay in the word, you abide in it, you chew it over, you mull it over, you let it be formed within you, you start viewing life from it, and then all of a sudden it says it's going, that word's going to become truth, or it's going to become real to you, and you're going to experience the reality of its freedom. You're going to experience the reality of its freedom. But if you don't ever abide in it, if you don't ever stay with it long enough for it to do any lasting work, you're going to come out and say, it doesn't work. I tried it, it doesn't work. What do you mean you tried it? Either the word of God is true, or we're all hellbound. Hello? It's either true or it's not true. And so we have to find out, if it's not coming to pass within our life, why isn't it coming to pass within my life? Because the problem's not with God, it's with me. And if there's something there blocking something for me to experience the reality of it, I've got to lay myself open before God. What's going on here? Where am I not seeing something? What is it? Am I attitude toward it wrong? Am I viewing this wrong? Show me, Lord God. And I guarantee you, Holy Spirit will speak. He will give you an answer that needs to be corrected so you can stay with that word until you experience the reality of it and you, what? You enjoy its liberty or its freedom or whatever it is that truth is referring to. Amen? You become a doer, an applier, and a receiver of that truth. Hallelujah. Now, once again, go back to the verse I talked about in the beginning. If you plant according to the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, you reap what? Everlasting life, or more and more the life of God. If you plant little, you're going to get little. If you plant a lot, you're going to get a lot. Right? I've got one jalapeno pepper bush given to me on my birthday. It's going to be 2 years next year. But just think, if I had 10 of them, I'd probably have enough jalapenos for everybody here in church. Do you know that? Whether you want them or not. Hey, I got this really great hot sauce that I just made. I mean, it's absolutely delicious. Actually, somebody put some hot sauce in my box over there. I was like, oh, hallelujah, I got some more hot sauce. I'm a hot sauce man. I love it. You'll find yourself doing what it says here. So I read about these saints that are going to be, can you imagine the time that these believers are going to be in? And all the world is going the wrong direction. And there's a remnant of them that are standing out. No, we're not going that way. No, we're not. But and still keeping true to the Lord. And what does it say, that last part there? Now look at it. Now, do you have Revelation 14, 12 up there? Revelation 14, 12. The faith what? Of. The faith of Jesus. Now remember, I mentioned last week, we need to develop faith in God. then we need to have faith toward God so we can demonstrate the faith of God. Okay? So we need to stay with the Word of God enough until it starts changing our perception, how we view God. We find out a truth of God. Like, wow, that's kind of hard. He's almighty. I look at this, I look at that, I look at that. I don't really see the almightiness of God. No, wait a second. No, the Word of God says He's almighty. The Word of God says He's almighty. Even though I don't see the things happening in this world as they will happen, things will get changed. His almightiness is being revealed, and it's being revealed in me. You stay with that truth till it becomes toward God, until you're starting to walk of that truth from a place that He is almighty, from a place and disposition, a place of believing. So if you truly believe that He is almighty, you will demonstrate the faith of Jesus in that area. Did Jesus have any problem believing that God was almighty? So in Mark 4, when He says, let's go to the other side, and a great tempest arises, and Jesus is asleep on a pillow, and He's just out of sleep. I don't even see how He can sleep. I've been in a tempest, and the boat's like this, and how you can sleep, and He's just complete peace. Why? Because He said we're going to the other side. Master, wake up. Don't you care that we perish? How is it that you don't have faith? He asked the question, how is it? Oh, actually, I think He said, do not be terrified. Don't fear. And how is it? Two questions He asked. And how is it that you have no faith? Something within them had not been developed about a storm. We're all going to face storms. But I have a truth from God's Word that says that the culmination of my salvation is in His presence. And so when I said yes to Jesus and that spiritual stake was placed in the ground, that wonderful cross of Jesus Christ was placed in the ground at the time that I received Jesus, and that blood of Jesus Christ came upon my life, there was something that happened within me that I said, I'm going all the way with this Jesus. I don't know everything about this stuff. And some of it seems kind of weird and far out, but I'm going all the way with Jesus because I knew what He did in me. I didn't understand everything, but I knew that I was sinful, and I knew that I was no longer full of sin, that there was a baptism of love that hit me. There was a cleansing of my sin that I experienced, and for 3 days, a wonderful baptism in this love and repentance that just took place in my heart. I was like, I'm not letting go of this Jesus for anything. I did a whole lot of stupid stuff from in between there, but guess what? It's like the stock market tape. Here's where I was when I started with Jesus. And I had some ups, I had some downs, I had some ups. But if you drew a straight line from that point to where I'm at now, you'll see that it's been upward. Even though we have ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, you should be able to draw a line from where you started into where you're at right now. And it should be an ascent. An ascent. I've had a lot of dips. And I felt like a dip. But guess what? I've had also a lot of highs, a lot of overcoming, a lot of victories. A lot of wonderful ministry times and opportunities in other people's lives. And then boom! And boom! But it seems like the ticker tape doesn't have such extremes anymore. It just seems like just whoop, and a little dip, whoop, and a little dip. I was like, Lord God, I'd like to get those dips just all out of there. Just all for You. All for You. Amen? All for You. All for You. Amen. Let's get boisterous here. All for Him. But when I looked at this, I said, the faith of Jesus. So here's this group of people walking around manifesting the very life, character, nature of Jesus. Speaking as Jesus would speak, ministering as Jesus would speak. They're actually demonstrating the very faith or life of Jesus during a very horrible time that's coming in the future. Now, if they can do that then, when everything in this world is coming totally against anything that has to represent what we believe, as only one way salvation, Jesus Christ. And we're talked about as being narrow. I said, we got to become so narrow, we turn sideways, nobody can see us. Just one way, Jesus. Where'd He go? Oh, here I am. And you have to be solidified in that. There aren't many paths to God. There's only one way to saving faith, to be in God's presence, Father God, to become your Father, through Jesus Christ. And you're going to get introduced to all kinds of Jesus, all kinds of false doctrines, all kinds of things that are going to try to get you to widen the way, make it broader. No, only one way, Jesus Christ. And embracing that full truth of what that word says. I mean, if you just see a cross there right now, Lord God, my all for You all. Paul said, glory. What is Galatians 2:20? Paul is speaking about his life. He talks about it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith that the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know about you, but I just want to live in that crucified place. Everything of Mark Smith, the old Mark Smith, is just dead, gone, and buried, and all that Jesus Christ has made us to be and secured for us to be, we want to live in that aspect of it, to walk in newness of life. So that if these believers here, if I could just end today with that these believers here, there's going to be a group of believers, and we looked in chapter 12, it talked about a remnant of them. They're able to be consistent. They're able to be consistent. Are you consistent in your faith today? Or do you still have little dips like I do? You know, God will leave. The Holy Spirit is like a road sign. He'll tell you when a dip's ahead. Dip ahead. He'll tell you. He'll let you know something's coming. You got to start listening to the still small voice. You got to start taking the warning. He knows everything that's going to take place. And there are things that will kind of get us by surprise, but if you look back during the week or maybe the month, there's some things that he's been preparing you for that. So you can stay consistent. So you can stay even keeled. So you can be faithful. Be faithful. See, the Lord is faithful, and guess what? That faithfulness is part of the new creation in you. You have the ability to be faithful. To be faithful to God. I've been faithful to my wife. Okay? Have there been times over the years where my mind wandered in the beginning part of our relationship? Yeah. It wandered to a place it shouldn't have gone to. And I was unfaithful in my mind. But see, all that gets straightened out when you walk with Jesus. Like, you don't have the luxury to go thinking like that anymore. You don't have the luxury to go down memory lane. Oh, Lord God, forgive us. And if you truly mean business with the Lord, then you're going to allow him to go into those areas of your thinking and transform them. Because as one person I was ministering to lately, it's not hurting anybody. It's just me and my mind. It's just me and my mind. Until it went from the mind to pictures, to the internet, and then the wife saw it. But he still carried that thinking. He still carried that thinking when he was meeting with me. And I said, you see here what the Lord's after? He's after your heart. He's after your thinking. He's after all the inner workings. Because it says, out of the abundance of the heart. And it says, all these things are created in the inside. Why do you think that Jesus even said, it is said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say that if a person looks at a man, looks at a woman with lust, he's committed adultery already within the heart. Why would Jesus, you know, make the standard so much more difficult? Because it's a matter of the heart. And when we're changed, we have a new heart. The old stony heart's been taken out. You know, there's a passage where it says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Right? Remember, that's Old Testament, folks. Okay? When we're talking about the heart, I'm not talking about the mind here. It's referring to the heart. We get a new heart. Jesus said, the Word of God says, the stony heart is going to be taken out, and a heart of flesh, or a heart like God's going to be placed within. If you just keep thinking, oh, I've got a heart, you know, who could know it? It's deceitfully wicked. You know what? That's me making an excuse for me to live there because of an Old Testament passage, but I've got to go with the rest of what the Old Testament says, that there's a new covenant coming, and a new covenant coming with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take out that old stony heart that I had no excuse for in the past because I was sin, and taking that out because of Jesus Christ and placing within me the heart of God. Now, the mind may want to dip in and out of there, but I've got a heart after God. And I have to take personal responsibility for those thoughts. I take personal responsibility, and I go to the Word of God, and I say, oh, I thank you, Father, for the washing of the water of the Word. I thank you for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you that I am caught a whole lot faster now, Lord God, because you're always faithful. You're always faithful. Always faithful. Holy Spirit is always there, nudging and prompting and leading us. This is the way, walk in it. You know, some of us go, I know I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't. So I'm not. Amen. Hallelujah. No, I'm not. I wasn't going to go the other way. And that's the place where we need to be. Amen. So, today, let me just close up with this. Do you and I have the ability to walk as Jesus walked? We have the ability to do so. Amen? I think it's 1 John 2:6. I mean, can you put that up, Tiffany? 1 John 2:6. And I think that it brings that truth out, doesn't it? He who says he abides in him. Do you abide in him? I say I abide in Jesus. How about you? I'm one with the Lord through Jesus Christ. I am one in him and he's one with me. Amen? Didn't even Jesus pray that in John 17, that we would be one, that we'd experience the same oneness that he experiences with the Father, that we would be one in him and him and him one in us. Amen? He who says he abides in him ought, giving us choice. Choice. We all have choice. Ought himself also to walk just as. That word just as, you can put the word equal. Just as he walked. That is a tall order. That's a tall order. But guess what faith says? Guess what the spirit of faith says? That's true, and it's true in me. See? You've got to be able to come to that place and read a passage. I abide in Jesus. I'm allowing his word to abide in me. That word is changing and transforming me. And I ought, so I do, walk as he walks. You say, well, Pastor, I saw you last week. You didn't walk like that. I saw you too last week, and you didn't walk like that. But guess what faith says? I'm walking like he walked. I am as he is. I am one with him, and he is one with me. Okay? The word of God also says, you are perfect in him. Yes, I am. And that perfection is being worked out in me every day. I am complete in him. You are complete in him. Just don't allow the uncompleted areas to dominate. Don't give them a voice. Take them to the cross. Take them to the place where the blood of Jesus runs over it and say, no, that is not who I am. Jesus Christ has redeemed me from that. That blood has covered me in that area. I don't have to be like that. And having said that, let me just close with this. First church and last church in the book of Revelation. First church, seventh church, well, whatever. The first one left first love. The last one got lukewarm. Okay? You don't have to leave first love and you don't have to become lukewarm. If you find yourself not as passionately in love with Jesus as you once were, it can all be changed today. If you find yourself in lukewarm category, you're just kind of going through the motions, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not here. If you find yourself not cold, you're not hot, just like my jalapeno, you can get hot. You get fired up for Jesus. You don't ever have to leave it. Amen? You can always stay fervent for the Lord. Okay? Passionately desirous of more of him within your life. I am passionately desiring more and more of him. And it's very easy to allow Jesus to become second. When the excuses come in as to why you can't have quiet time, as to why you can't, I can't do this, because, we all have schedules, we all have things to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And always maintain, seeking first to maintain, I've been given the gift of righteousness, but I need to walk in maintenance of it. Okay? In other words, if I do something unrighteous, I confess it. And guess what? I'm reestablished. Okay? It's been given to me as a gift, but I don't always have to choose to walk in it. Neither do you, right? But I choose to. And when I don't, I repent and I'm restored immediately. I don't dwell in the condemnation of what my mind tries to bring upon me. I refuse to live there. I have to accept the truth of God's word and walk in that truth. So if you have felt that you aren't walking with Jesus like you once were, if it's just become mundane, then repent. Repentance is such a glorious truth. In other words, you see it for what it is. I'm not as fervent as I once was for the things of the Lord. Reading the word of God is struggling. I don't even, you know what, sometimes a day or a week goes by, I don't even pray. I'd rather play this, or I'd rather do that, or rather do that. Read the Bible, come on. If that is a condition in any of your hearts or lives, it just says you have the ability today to repent, to turn from that, and to say, you know what, Lord God, I need to come back fully to you, Jesus. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even sometimes know what that means. But I'll say it today because some of the actions and choices of my life are not towards you. Hours on end, sometimes days on end, without really a thought about you. Oh, it may be good morning, Lord, or good night, Lord, or something like that, but there's real no substance. And you realize it. All it takes, oh, forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Jesus. Other things have crept in. Forgive me, Lord. Other things that, when you ask Lord to make me like you, I guarantee he'll start speaking in your life. He'll start speaking. But if you can't be honest with yourself, if you've slipped, if you can't be honest, then you'll just stay there. And what I've said today can actually make you harder. Because when it's heard and said, no, that's not me, and it is, then a hardness or a callousness. Now, he even having said that, we may say no a lot of times, and God knows how to get underneath. It's like this callus right here on my hand, and he knows how to pull it off and to make it nice and soft underneath there. Okay? So always know that. But don't let it get too big to where you don't want it removed anymore and it hurts to have it pulled off. There's going to be some hurt there. There's going to be some cutting there. But guess what? Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals thee. It also means to mend by stitching. And sometimes he's going to start suturing. And sometimes there isn't any anesthetic there. Oh, we don't like that. Right? And there's been some areas in my life where it says that I'll mend by stitching. I thought I was going to get all stitched up at once. It was a process. It was a suture here and a suture there. And a month went by and another suture and another month went by. But guess what? Eventually, it was Rapha'd. It was healed. It was healed. Now I can look back and see certain scars as to what it was before. And I can remember it, but no longer have the feelings associated with it. But I can speak it by way of testimony now. Who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ.